Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, welcome inside the playbook for a Tuesday. I guess you could call it a Nitpick Tuesday, but it will be the final Nitpick Tuesday of the 2010-2011 football season. I'm John Rook. I'm glad you're with us here in Patriots Playbook. It's always somewhat difficult, I think, to do this program for the very final time. I will say this. We're finishing up now the 10th year that we've hosted this program here on Patriots.com radio. This is the first time we've actually done a closing program. Eric Scalavino from PFW is with us, as he has been throughout the entire year.
And I wasn't, John, because I know. Normally I'm not here on Tuesdays because I'm here Monday, Tuesday.
Because you'd have Tuesday off, and then you'd have Wednesday, Thursday.
Cover and game on Sunday.
Yeah, precisely. So,
sorry to be here. It's glad to be here for the final closure edition.
It's a little bit of a mixed bag of feelings and emotions here. But, you know, like I said, we don't normally get a chance to do this because normally our broadcast season for this particular show ends when the season ends. But when we were talking about it, because everything ended so abruptly, and in talking with Kevin and Jason a couple of days ago in the aftermath of the loss on Sunday, I said, you know, hey, how, you know, we've probably got enough demand here. There's a lot of people that want to talk. There's
need
a lot of
vent.
People that need to vent. A lot of people that want to say, you know, goodbye, you know, for the off season.
Yeah.
You guys, when PFW go into your off season mode, which you started today, and you'll do Tuesdays and Thursdays,
noon to two
throughout the off season. Playbook won't be back in the fold until the regular season kicks off next September.
Fingers crossed with that.
Fingers crossed, yeah. And obviously that's an issue I think that you and I will probably touch on before the program is done today.
Yeah, unavoidably.
Yeah, so that is on the agenda. Those of you who might be relatively new to the program, Tuesdays are normally a day that we call Nitpick Tuesday, as Paul was talking about earlier. We take the previous week's game. We dissect and analyze. Until we can't dissect and analyze anymore over some of the things that we did not like about the game. We nitpick, basically, is what we do. And obviously there's plenty to nitpick about the game on Sunday against the Jets. So I do want to hear...
Legitimate gripes.
Yeah, there's
nitpicks.
Legitimate gripes. There's surprising legitimate gripes. You thought that we were by a lot of this stuff. It obviously was not the case. But I don't want this to turn into just a gripe in moan and bitch session, which it can. But I also want this to turn into sort of a reflective overview of the season, because you'll know that in the last couple of weeks, during the bye week before last, mm-hmm. when we had no game to look forward to after the regular season was completed, you and I talked about this then, and we've talked about it periodically, I think, during the second half of the season. But nobody really took it seriously, I don't think, because I don't think anybody expected this team was going to go right on its face, which it did. Nobody expected the pratfall that we got. So I'm going to ask the question again, and I'm hoping that now that we've had an extra 24 hours or so to kind of decompress, you know, we've had two full days now to hopefully reflect and let some of the anger and disappointment subside. And I really want our listeners today to answer honestly about their expectations for this season. And answer a very simple question today. Was this a good year? That's the simple question. That's our question of the day. Was this a good year? Now, you may have a different definition of good than I have or Eric has or any of your fellow fans have. You may have a different definition. So I will allow for that. You've got plenty of latitude here in order to define that. But I want you to try to take everything into consideration that we've talked about over the course of the last couple of weeks, that we've talked about since, you know, the win streak began following the Cleveland game during the middle of the year when the team ripped off 8 straight. And I want you to also go back to when we started this program and when we started this season in this broadcast year of Patriots.com radio for the regular season, when we started it back in September before week one, knowing what our expectations were then, realizing, looking back on them, what we know now. Was this a good season? Webradio at Patriots.com is how you reach us, of course. That's the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482 is how you call us. And I will have the Facebook show page up momentarily. We're momentarily we're derailed from that because we've got some videotaping going on in the studio. So we're actually in the production room here at Gillette Stadium opening up the show. But we'll get to the Facebook page. So if you want to get to the Facebook page, you can do so. It's John Rook. Just look for me, J-O-H-N-R-O-O-K-E. If you haven't already done that this year, if you haven't submitted the friend request, you can do so. Put Patriots Playbook in the line so we know that you're there for that reason. We'll accept the friend request. And then, of course, we can do the show. We can chat. We can post. We can do whatever you like during the show. During the off season, feel free to stay hooked up with, you know, be my friend in the off season.
Yeah, don't unfriend.
You don't have to unfriend.
Don't defriend.
It's entirely up to you. It's your call. I'm not going to say you out. You know, that's not how I operate. We can always talk football during the off season if the situation warrants.
Well, unless you start to get creepy.
Let's not do that. Okay, let's not do that. I mean, you
as
know,
people have been want to do.
I'm a single, good looking guy, but you know, hey, no creeps allowed, all right?
Unless her name begins with Mariska and ends with Hargitay.
Hargitay, that's exactly right. Then
bring it on.
Be as creepy as
bring
you want to be. That's exactly right. All right, so I'm going to ask you to start.
Yep.
And tell me, was this a good season?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a good season. I thought
but
it was going to be a great season.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, that's probably as good a response as we could get.
I ended up thinking.
Yeah.
Because I didn't start the season thinking it was going to be a great season.
Uh-huh.
I started off thinking it was going to be a mediocre, disappointing season.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I admitted that as we went along. By midseason, and certainly the latter half, I started thinking we had the potential for a great, historic, memorable season. Looking back, it ended up being just a good season. There was plenty. There was more good than bad about this season.
Right.
So overall, the result was disappointing. But you have to objectively look at this and take stock, put it in perspective, and say, yes, this was a very good year.
You know, I have to admit that I was just as upset as any fan after the game was over. You know, it's a little bit of a reach for me to say I was pissed off or I was, you know, mad or because, you know, this happens in sports. When you cover sports for a living, you really can't afford to get that emotionally attached. It's just difficult because
it's hard, though.
It's, you know,
it's hard.
I realize
it's hard sometimes.
I realize it's hard because, you know, we work every day with the guys down the hallway. And so especially you guys, when you're in there talking to them every day that, you know, that you are and you've got a publication to put out every day and or every week and you're working on it every day, so to speak. And so it's difficult to see people who you believe in and who you understand perhaps better than anybody come up short like that.
Mm.
I don't want to say anger is the right word I'm looking for here. Disappointment.
Disappointment, dejection.
Yeah. Deflation.
Yeah.
Sure, because you expected something else. You thought that the team, as you've already explained, was capable of more. It could have been a great season, maybe even should have been a great season. Instead, it's merely a good season.
Mm-hmm.
When we consider, though, how I look at it, when we consider that before the year started, I thought 9-7. I said if, you know, a couple of injuries happen, yeah, 8-8 could certainly happen. Maybe even less, depends on how many bad injuries. I mean, frankly, Green Bay to me is a very remarkable story. You got 15 guys who have been on the IR for Green Bay, and yet here they are in the NFC Championship game. So I think, you know, Green Bay, has turned into the story of the NFL now, sort of overtaking what the Patriots
have done.
They're
the popular pick right now, too.
I think they're the popular pick. Green Bay very much has the sort of the 07 Giants aura going on about it. And it may very well be.
Except that the 07 Giants at the beginning of the year weren't predicted as a Super Bowl favorite. The Packers were.
Packers were.
Stumbled a little bit out of the gate,
Packers
got a lot of injuries.
Stumbled
a
lot of injuries and have regrouped.
Exactly.
And so I think the Packers are probably, you know, the popular pick now, maybe in New England because of the two teams.
I think nationally too.
But I think nationally, I agree with you. I think I think people feel like the Packers are on a roll.
James Starks running the ball has given people more confidence in their offense as a whole. It's not just Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball and Greg Jennings and Donald Driver.
That's right.
Their defense, Clay Matthews has been playing well, obviously.
That's right.
You know, Charles Woodson having a defensive player of the year type season. Which I think he had last year, too. I think he probably deserved it.
They are eminently capable.
So,
but because of where they started, as I suggested, and where they are now, you'd have to say, you know, that's a pretty good story. Patriots, obviously, were right there until this last week. It would have been great to have, you know, the chance to play Green Bay again, which I think they were on a collision course for.
Probably.
Certainly looked like it. But, I mean, hey, we can get into the whys and the hows and everything if you so choose. I just seem to think that because I personally didn't have expectations of this team certainly being 14-2. I didn't have expectations of this team really being an AFC East champion, which they are. I didn't have expectations of this team being a 1 or a 2 seed and getting a bye in the opening round. I thought if they got into the playoffs, they would squeeze in as a wild card, probably be of the 5 or the 6, obviously, as the case would be. And then if you're, you know, I mean, you're going to end up playing a game on the road.
Not just the 1 or the 2 either, the best record in either conference.
I know. And I think that's what adds to the disappointment, because our expectations, Eric, were elevated automatically because of the team's performance, regardless of how they got there. What I'm thinking here, though, is that this is one of those rare years where parity really carried forth in the NFL in a lot of ways. I mean, we saw a 7-9 team get in the playoffs, for God's sake, and make it into the divisional round. I mean, good grief. How crazy is that? So you can't argue that parity wasn't a factor. It was.
Yeah. It was a strange year from start to finish.
Bizarre year, and because parity exists.
But that made it a little bit more fun.
Well, sure, because it means everybody's in it. You know, everybody's got a chance to talk their own version of smack and have their own amount of success and what have you. But I really believe that the Patriots got on a roll after the Cleveland game. And you certainly can't take that away from them, that they were helped by the fact that overall there was more parity in this season in the AFC and the NFC, but certainly the AFC where it affected the Patriots the most, more so this year than in previous years. And let me quantify that for a moment. The Patriots were not as dominating a team as we saw in 07. Offensively, there were similarities. Defensively, nowhere close. The makeup was different. This team obviously skewed younger. The team in 07 had much more veteran leadership, and I think much more of the ability, although this team did develop it late in the year, overall had much more ability to make stops in drives when you needed it. This team began to show, and I mean by the 2010 team, began to show the ability to come up with a big play if they needed it. You know, Devin McCourty showed that. Several of the other younger players showed that. I just felt more confident as I tried to separate the two in the 07's defense's ability to make a stand when they needed to as opposed to what we saw in 2010. I thought that the overall quality of the team in 2007 was higher than in 2010. Doesn't mean this was a bad team. It was a different team. But because the Patriots took advantage of the fact, got on an emotional roll, which you can't ever underscore around here, and because you had some teams, I think, kind of lied down in the process along the way during this 8-game win streak. Hello, Miami, and they steamrolled the Jets in a pure emotional game. I mean, I just thought that the 14-2 the Patriots had this year was a little inflated in terms of what the actual talents and the self-worth of the roster really was.
They overachieved.
Yes, they overachieved at 14-2. They overachieved. Now, that's not...
I'd prefer that over the alternative.
Yes, that's not denigrating this team in any form or fashion. You know, considering that, you know, you dump Lawrence Maroney, who's got his own, you know, new bag of legal troubles now.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you've got, you dumped on him. You lost Fred Taylor early in the process again. And those were your two backs, 1 and 2, or 1A and 1B, for lack of a better phrase, at the start of the season. And you're going with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who really, going into the year, was a fifth stringer. And at best, he was a replacement for Kevin Faulk.
And was even talked about as a bubble player for the roster,
final
roster.
Right, and then let's add to that, Kevin Faulk got hurt. And so then you go out and you pick up Danny Woodhead.
Happened before he got hurt.
Right before he got hurt, it did.
The week he got hurt, I should say.
That's right.
The week leading up to when he got hurt.
Same time frame, right. So he wasn't brought in because of an injury, but brought in for depth, and it just worked out beautifully.
Same player. Same type of player.
That's right. So the Patriots were able to make some smart, shrewd moves and overcome it. They gave guys opportunities that might not would have had them otherwise. Certainly, we didn't expect they would get the opportunity to compete and play like they did, and they got that opportunity, and they rose to the occasion. Mm. We saw that, a great example in that from Dan Connolly in the offensive line as well.
Yep.
You know, Stephen Neal went down with an injury, but Connolly was in there like, you know, and we never really missed him. With all due respect to Stephen Neal, we never really missed him because of Connolly's play.
Well, let's not forget either, Connolly was Logan Mankin's replacement.
Originally.
First.
Originally.
Then Neal went down.
Neal went down.
And
Connolly
happened
right
that Mankins
and
had come back, and so
yeah,
Connolly could go over there.
Absolutely. And we never really missed a beat. So Connolly, to me, is one of the true unsung heroes. He sort of epitomizes the entire Patriots team this year. You had guys who have not been asked before to step up and step in, and he did that. And you got that from Connolly. You got that from Green Ellis. You got that from Woodhead. You got that from Deion Branch because of the Randy Moss trade in the middle of the year. You know, obviously they brought in a quality guy, but they brought in one of Tom's guys. They brought in a guy that they had familiarity with.
And you say Connolly,
Super Bowl MVP. I mean,
what better metaphor for the season than Connolly's 71-yard kickoff return?
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that if that wasn't a microcosm of
the
entire season,
that's
underachieving, unexpected players making huge plays.
Correct.
That was the epitome
Correct.
Of the Patriots as a team this year.
Absolutely, 110%. And that's why I came in today with Dan Connolly on my mind. We wouldn't normally even give him the time of day on this program because he's not a skill player. You know, we talk about the running backs, the quarterbacks, the receivers.
We will talk about the
DBs. We'll talk about the linemen. We'll talk about the linebackers. We never talk offensive line. The only time we ever talked offensive line this year was Logan Mankins. Is he coming in? When is he coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he came in.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Came in early, too.
And he came in early.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make certain that I got that point across here. And I don't know that it'll take any of the sting away from the loss on Sunday for Patriots fans. But I'm trying to rationalize this somewhat. I'm trying to put this in a good place so we can kind of wrap this all up in a nice, neat bow since Playbook won't be back, hopefully, until next September.
Hopefully on time.
Hopefully
too.
On time. And we will you and I will deal with that coming up. But this team was not expected, okay? Our expectations inflated as the season progressed due to several factors. Nevertheless, our expectations increased because the Patriots' fortunes continued to shine. So let's not forget our original expectations. We must refer back to them in order to get a clear picture of the road that was truly traveled this season. And to see what they've done and where they've gone and what they accomplished when you take it into the start of the season, end of the season, big picture, full circle, 360-degree view, yes, it was a good season. I'm fully prepared to say it was a very good season. It was not a great season, as you've already detailed, because our expectations inflated, and they didn't meet those inflated expectations. Now, whoever's fault that is it our fault for expecting too much? Partially. Is it the team's fault for not living up to those expectations and performing? Partially. Is it the coaching staff's fault? Partially. We're all to blame here, okay? We're all to blame. We don't play.
Well, but even if it's not your expectation, when you're given the opportunity and you don't take advantage of it, you don't fulfill the potential that's there, it's disappointing.
Yes, you are correct, and that's why I'm guessing that will be the fuel for the fire for 2011, because this team saw what it was capable of doing and did not reach their full potential. They overachieved, Eric. They did overachieve.
Yeah, no question.
But they did not achieve as much as they could have. And that's
should have.
That is the bottom line. They still overachieved, but once they got into this process, it's kind of like, holy crap, we got a good team here.
Yeah, it's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing. That's exactly right. So they did a good job. It could have been a great job.
Yeah.
And they didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
But that's human fallacy, okay? That's the fallacy of sport. Really. This is why we play games. Because you just really never know. Truly, on any given Sunday, and unfortunately that came back to bite the Patriots in the ass this Sunday. I just don't think, as I described to you guys at the tail end of PFW, I just don't think they prepared as well as they could have. I'm very disappointed in their preparedness.
I am too, and it's why I, you know, after the game, we get a chance to talk to the players in the locker room. Thankfully, most of them decided to man up and stay at their lockers and talk. There
That's
were a
good.
Few, yeah. some of whom are, you know, highly paid and elected as team captains who decide not to do that unless they're paid to do so on another radio station. But right. that's another gripe for another show. But most of them decided to talk to us, and one of them was Wes Welker, who, you know, had his issues at the start of the game
right.
With getting benched, manned up, took our questions, and one of the questions I asked him was, well, the first question I asked him was, what happened tonight? He said, you know, we just didn't execute. I said, what was different about tonight compared to 6 weeks ago when the Jets came here? And he said, well, you know, they played a lot more zone tonight. And when you prepare all week for one thing and then you see another, and we tried to adjust to it, but just couldn't do it, that answer got me thinking, okay, well, what were they preparing for all week?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they weren't prepared for the zone, but wouldn't you know after two games against this team, you have two game plans to sort of play off of. Wouldn't you be prepared for both of them? Like we talked about on the show last week, I want them to prepare for A, B, and C.
Right.
I want them to prepare for what happened in the first game, what happened in the second game, and what might happen in the third game.
We did talk
we
about
talked
that
about
last
exactly
week.
That.
We sure did.
It
sure
sounds
did.
Like they only planned for A.
Right.
They forget about B, and they didn't even consider C.
And that's very disappointing. That's so un-Bill Belichick-like. That's why it's such a shock.
And normally you say, okay, by halftime, you figure out what's going on. How many times have we seen it? Completely different game, one half to the next.
Right.
Teams
didn't
make adjustments.
We didn't see it.
What happened? Why didn't they adjust at halftime either?
Well, whatever they adjusted to, they might argue that they adjusted. It didn't work.
Well, yeah, maybe they adjusted, but yeah, it didn't work. So the adjustment wasn't right if they made one.
I guess that's the real puzzler here, to be quite honest with you. That's the head-scratcher. It's going to have to fuel all of our fires, I think, in the offseason. You know, I hope that it will work to, you know, the players' advantage in the offseason and bring them back hungrier because this team has unlimited potential for 2011. When you add to the fact that you're going to have seven picks in the first four rounds,
uh-huh.
I mean, that's phenomenal. And that will be the story of the NFL draft. Obviously, well, the number one story may be the players are locked out. We don't know yet. But the draft
will still take place
when it's
scheduled,
which is
the last week of April.
We just don't know if you'll be able to negotiate with your draftees. You know, because you know as well as I do that a rookie salary cap is going
to
be a part of any sort of new collective bargaining agreement.
Has to be.
And again, we'll spend a little time on that here coming up, but I'm using this as a reference point. You know, April will still come. The draft will still happen. You'll have
right.
seven picks in the first four rounds. Who knows whether or not the Patriots will keep all of them? My guess is no, they won't, because that is how they operate. So don't be upset when, you know, a couple of those picks are packaged together, either to trade up or for future picks, because that's what they do. I do think they'll keep at least one of the firsts. They could take the other first and potentially use it to trade for a player that they decide they want. You guys talked about Larry Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
By God, bring him on. Bring him on.
Yeah.
I mean, could you? I mean, that would be, you know.
Right. That would help the offense.
No question.
They need more help on defense.
Yes.
But we'll take Larry Fitzgerald if he's available at the right price.
If he's available at the right price, and that means you got to give up a one. Look what you have. You've got bargaining
right.
chips.
You basically
now.
Have three ones because the 33rd pick in overall,
that's
is the
right.
first pick in the
first
second
pick
round.
In the second round.
That's marginally.
You have
first
three
round
picks
pick.
In the first 33. Three in the first 33.
Yeah.
That is damn near unprecedented.
One of those should be able to get you Larry Fitzgerald.
Should.
With maybe another, you know, like a third or
should.
Something else
that's
thrown in there.
That's but. Phenomenal. Three in the first 33. It blows me away. So you've got that to look forward to. The future is certainly bright. It's not bleak.
Yeah.
The only bleak part about it is that we got to make sure that we have next season in tow.
The different part, too, well, we can get to that.
Yeah.
I'll get to how the offseason will be different. But
right. Yeah, right.
You can finish your point.
I was just going to say that, you know, there's plenty to look forward to. That, you know, I realize that there will always be some veteran players that will not come back. You guys talked a little about that as well at the end of PFW today. You know, my thought process is that, you know, Mankins is not going to come back.
I'm not convinced of that.
Okay, maybe. Just my own personal feeling.
You know, it might be 70-30, 60-40, but I still think there's hope that he comes back.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope they're able to work out an agreement.
I'm a lot more confident now than I was 4 months ago.
No question. I'm much closer to it, but I will say...
Two months ago.
If you had to put the gun in my head today, I'd say no. Obviously, you know...
I'd say yes.
Okay, fine.
I think.
All right, well then, good. Let's play this game then for a second, all right? Let's do that.
All right.
All right, let's play. As long as we're on the subject, let's play this game. All right, so I say Mankins no. You say
Mankins
yes.
Yes, if you have to decide right now today, knowing what we know.
All right. Of the other free agents, who then, in your estimation...
There are a lot of them, too.
And yes, there are. Let me give you another one. Matt Light.
No.
I agree with that. No. I don't think he'll be back. All right, so that's two. All right, prominent free agents then?
I have the list upstairs, but, okay. I mean, guys like... you know, you have lower-level guys like Kyle Arrington.
I would say Arrington, yes.
I definitely think he'd be back, too. Gerard Warren is a guy I think whose contract is up.
I have to think about that.
I think yes.
I'm going to say yes on that one, too, just based on I thought he had a solid season.
And I think he was... welcomed in the locker room.
Yes, and one of the problems they had clearly at the end of the year was depth on the DL.
Yeah.
You know, if you get Ty Warren back and, you know, and you're able to get Ron Brace back and some of the others, you know, into the mix, then obviously if you keep Gerard Warren, your depth is immediately better.
Yep.
So I will say yes, but again, who knows what they're going to go out and look for in the offseason.
Well, and here's the thing, too. This is what I almost interrupted you before on was free agency is going to be different this year if there's a lockout. Okay. There basically won't be any. Free agency.
Okay, right.
So normally, when it comes to this point in the season, Andy and I begin our draft prep and simultaneously our free agent prep because we have to come up with the list of all the players around the league who are available, all the players on this team who could become available. We start doing our research for that. We can't really do our free agency research this year because when free agency would start is basically when the CBA expires.
CBA gets done. So you're going to be late. You're going to be behind the eight ball
getting
it done when it finally does happen.
Right. I mean, we'll have the list of who's available, but we won't be able to speculate. There won't be anything to sign because the rules could be different based on the new CBA.
Right.
Teams aren't going to – you can't plan for a free agency the way you have before because you don't know what's going to be different. You don't know what the rules are going to be like.
Right.
If they're going to be different at all. So that's a little bit that throws a little bit of a wrench in our off-season plan.
Okay.
We just have to deal with that though. So most of our focus is going to have to be on the draft. But we still have to do our homework for free agency because eventually you would hope if it doesn't drag out too far into the off-season that there'll be a period where teams can do that.
Are there any other names then on the Patriots team that
there
you could,
there
that,
are
that
if
pop
you go
up?
To Kevin if you go to the ESPNBoston.com blog they did a list a few weeks ago of players on the Patriots listed by contract year.
Okay.
And there's a whole and there's about 15 of them I think for this year. Kevin Faulk is
one.
I would
I'm going to say
no.
All right. I will
but I'm not confident about that.
I will say yes because I don't think he wants to leave on the terms in which he left.
I think you're right, but I think he's in Teddy Bruschi territory right
yes,
now.
Yes, he is. That's correct.
Coming off the injury might not be 100% even when he comes back from the injury, might give it a go in training camp or in you know, if there's, you know, if spring practice is that early. I don't know if he'll be able to do what he used to do, and the fact that they have his replacement now here and have had him here all year, I'm not so sure that that's a definite.
Okay.
And I'm not willing to. So if I had to guess, I would say no.
All right.
But I'm not as confident on that one as I am on some of the other ones.
Well, let's stay in that department then. How about Fred Taylor?
I think he retires.
I think he does too. I think he's out. It'll be his decision. But
he
I think
certainly is
I think
talking like that the last couple of weeks and certainly after the game.
And he was inactive for the game on Sunday anyway.
And so you'll see him down in Jacksonville doing that. It won't be here.
No, he'll probably
he'll retire a Jaguar.
I'm sure. He'll sign a a contract with them. And yeah,
and it only makes sense.
Right.
It's only fair.
Sammy Morris?
I think he comes back for training camp. I don't guarantee him a roster spot.
I would agree with that.
Because, again, I think it depends on what you get in the draft and or free agency if there is such
a
thing.
I personally believe the Patriots will look to draft a running back. They haven't done that since Lawrence Maroney. and obviously got burnt by that one, but I think that that's one of the things that's got to be on their list of things to do. So because of that, and I know because they really like Benny and they really like, you know, Danny Woodhead and what they provided,
mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to make a call on Sammy. I'm going to say no.
He'll be going into his 12th year.
I know, and that's why I'm going to say no. Just because he's aged somewhat. He obviously was used in a very limited basis this year.
Yep.
And when he was used, it was mostly on special teams.
Yep.
So I'm going to say no, but I agree that, you know, he could come back to camp.
And if he's not back, what better way for him to go out than scoring on the Kevin Faulk trick play on the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
Very good way for Patriots fans to remember him.
Well, kind of like Doug Flutie in the dropkick,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Guy that, you know, did contribute.
He contributed. He was versatile.
Quite a bit, yeah.
He was your tailback. He was your fullback. He was your third down back.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was your special teamer.
Right.
He did what you asked him to do. He didn't get himself in trouble. He played by the rules here.
Right.
If he's not back, that's a good way to remember Sammy Morris.
Agreed. All right, here's one that had a significant role in the game on Sunday. Algie Crumpler.
Yes, I think he comes back.
Even with the emergence of Gronkowski and Hernandez?
Yeah, because I think you need three tight ends, especially in this offense. And they're still going to be young players. They're going to be veterans in their second year, but they're not going to be established veterans. This guy is a co-captain for a reason. I think they still need his leadership at that position. I'd like to see him come back. I think he still has something to offer. You saw him pull a Benjamin Watson on the it was Bart Scott who intercepted the ball, right? Who was it?
Harris.
David Harris. I'm
David
sorry.
Harris.
David Harris.
That's right.
Phenomenal effort.
Great effort
phenomenal
to come
around
and tackle him. Right. Yes.
I think the guy still has something to contribute. I'd like him back.
Okay. Tougher call for me on this one. I will say yes, and you brought up a very good point, because the other two guys are still relatively young players. Could probably use a little more seasoning. I think Gronkowski could end up being the eventual go-to guy there in terms of his blocking ability and everything else, because he's just got size. We all know that Hernandez is really more of a big wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Where Gronk is more of a prototype
traditional
tight end.
Right.
So I will say, because Algie's blocking was extraordinary this year, I'm going to try to forget my one nitpick from the game on
his
Sunday, the drop touchdown pass.
Yeah, he made up for it later in the same spot, too.
Yes, he did. He made up for it later, so that's the one nitpick that I really brought to the table.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you got to catch that.
Oh, I know.
But still, I will say yes, that he will come back. Based on what you said,
mm-hmm.
I think that he could provide an invaluable service and still perform adequately on first and second down, and certainly in two and even now three tight end sets.
Yep.
You know, when they put all those guys in there,
yep.
He certainly can be there. All right, we mentioned Arrington. What about mm-hmm. a guy like in the secondary, Jared Page?
Interesting. I say yes, because I think his potential – I think you need somebody of his experience level there in the event that they decide that they're done with Brandon Merriweather.
Okay.
And I'm not convinced that just because he's made his second Pro Bowl that he's going to be, you know, on the team guaranteed next year.
I'm going to say no. Nothing against him. I think that they'll look to
they
go
could
a different
trade
direction.
Him, you know, like,
he could be
yeah.
a trade piece. He could be, you know, a part of, you know, he could be a draft casualty.
Draft day trade,
anything.
We saw with Ellis
yes,
Hobbs.
Yes, he seems to me to be one of those fluctuating pieces, you know, that could be used.
And if ever there's a year to do that, it's this year.
It would be this year. So that's why I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no for Jared Page?
No for Jared Page.
Okay.
I think I know the answer to this. Shane Graham.
It depends on Gostkowski's health and how he recovers from this. I mean, he's shed the crutches. We saw him a few days after the game in Cleveland. He was on crutches,
mm-hmm.
needed them badly. He has since shed the crutches. Now, I don't know when he's going to be able to actually kick a football, but I don't know how strong his leg is going to be. I mean, just to make my own slight comparison, when I had my back injury,
mm-hmm.
I could never regain the strength that I had in my leg. And to tear a quad, I've never had that injury, but I don't know how he's going to respond to that. So I'll say no, because I'll give Gostkowski the benefit of the doubt that he'll be able to come back. But I'm not totally confident. I think if Graham doesn't come back, he's on the short list if he doesn't find a job somewhere
Correct.
Else.
I would agree with that. I don't think they would hesitate in having him back if Gostkowski cannot be fully healthy. Mm. That I would go along with. But like you, I will say no because I'll bank on Gostkowski being healthy. How about the snapper, Matt Cotulla?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I don't think he did anything to...
Did you think on the fake punt it was more his fault than...
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. The snap was right where it's supposed to be.
Okay. Just wondering.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard some people say that in the aftermath.
Yeah, and I think that's unfair. I mean, it was clearly, when I saw it live and when I saw the replays, it was no question to me. Chung muffed the ball.
Okay.
It was right in his breadbasket. He let it go right through his hands, hit him in the chest, fell to the ground. No question it was his fault, not Matt
Cotulla's.
I don't
know that Chung would have made it had he caught the ball.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I don't think so either. There was a chance, but I think there was Eric Smith was rushing. I think he blew up in the backfield.
And the way
there.
that was described, though, that's a call that he made. It wasn't called from the sideline, was it?
There's a lot of debate about this. Here's how it went down afterwards. Bill was asked in the press conference immediately afterwards, what was up with the fake punt?
Right,
he said it was a mistake.
Right.
So the reporter followed up. Was it a mistake in the execution or a mistake in the call or both? And he said it was just a mistake. He wouldn't answer the question.
Right.
Later on, it came back and somebody said to him, Bill, did you sign off on the fake punt? Asked him directly. He said, I've already said what I'm going to say about that. Usually, when he's asked about a player's actions on the field, he takes responsibility or he and his coaching staff take responsibility.
He didn't do that, which leads us to believe that this was a call that was not his.
And yesterday in the locker room, our final day talking with the players for this year, Chung was swarmed, and he said repeatedly, I take full responsibility for that call. I take full responsibility. So it sounds like if you connect those dots, the game plan called for his being able to make that call, and he saw something and made the call. Doesn't sound like the coaches, or at least Bill, was thrilled with the call, given the position on the field, the time left in the half. Maybe the player didn't consider those factors. He maybe should have. But it sounds like it was a player's call, but I'm very surprised that Bill didn't stick up for his player.
Could just be human nature. Disappointment.
Could just
shock,
be.
Surprise. It could be
could
anything.
Could just be. He was asked about it the next day, though, in his final press conference yesterday and had the opportunity to stick up for his player and didn't.
Yeah, so. All right. And then a couple of offensive linemen. Steven Neal, you think he'll retire?
He has 1 year left, I believe. I think he signed a 2-year deal when he came back this past offseason.
Okay.
I think he's got to look himself in the mirror and realize.
Physically, can you do it?
He wasn't physically able to do it.
Really? All year long?
All year long. But even when he was younger, he had this thing with his shoulder.
Wrestling.
But I just don't think as a man his age at that position, it's the right thing to do. I think he's got to know when to call it quits. And it might be. He might just say, you know what, thanks for the extra year, but I can't do it.
I'm going to say no, he won't be back.
Yeah.
Based on that.
Yeah.
Physically, I just don't know that he can stand up to it.
No.
And then how about a guy like Quinn Ojinaka?
I think he has a better chance because two reasons. One, Matt Light situation. You're going to be probably one lineman down already. And two, Ojinaka's versatile enough to play four, maybe five out of the five positions on the O-line.
We all know that
they value versatility, so I'll say yes, he'll be back.
Because of that. Yeah. Versatility counts with this team
right.
and this organization, and he fits the mold, he fits the prototype of being able to play all of those positions on the line. So because of that, and especially in light of, not only Matt Light, but also Steven Neal and his uncertain situation, and for that matter, Logan Mankins, uncertain situation.
Right.
Quinn Ojinaga will be back.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right, let's do this now. We've got to
reset.
Let's reset here because we've got the other schmoes out of the studio. So let's take the time out. We'll finish the conversation. We'll open up the Facebook page. We're going to open up the email account, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, open as well, 508-543-7482. Facebook us. And post your questions or send us messages, or you can chat, use the chat function on Facebook. And we want you to answer a simple question. Was this a good season for the New England Patriots? take all of the factors that we've already discussed and some that I'm sure you've thought about on your own right into the decision-making process. Give us your thoughts. We're here until 4 o'clock Eastern time, and then we sail off into the sunset for the off season. Right here. We're in the playbook today.
This is weird, huh? Using the internet on an airplane?
Yeah, American Airlines did a good thing here, putting Wi-Fi on their flights.
You know, I actually had the idea a while back.
For Wi-Fi?
Yeah, but my idea wasn't called Wi-Fi.
Okay, what was it called, Brian?
It was called Bri-Fi.
Wow, that's very clever, Brian.
Yeah? Get it? Bri-Fi.
Unfortunately, I do.
Because I'm the Bri?
Wi-Fi, now available on select flights. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Cell phones used to be just cell phones. But today, you can't live without them, like water or coffee. They're indispensable. Take AA.com Mobile from American Airlines. I can book a flight, switch seats, or change my itinerary, all while I'm in line at the coffee shop. It's a wonder I ever put this thing down.
Manage your flight from the palm of your hand with AA.com Mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Of course, when it's time to pick up my double foam mega mocha latte, sometimes I need a free hand.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
The final playbook for the 2010 NFL season, 2011, just getting underway here. John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. Email is up and running. We'll get to some of those. Facebook, I've seen a ton of posts already coming in, so give me a couple of moments here to get caught up with all that and get signed on to the webpage. Hold on here. I think I've got that already under control. Let me make sure that I'm in here. Ta-da! Okay, so we'll get all of that in there. Oh, wait a second. What? Request a new one? Come on. All right, hold on. See, this is the problem with these stupid social networking. I don't know. I don't. It's not letting me in with my login here. Hold on. Got to try it one more time. All right. Hold on. Isn't this great? This makes great radio.
Cursing up Facebook all day.
Cursing up Facebook. Ah, there we go.
They won a lot of, Golden Globes the other night or whatever it
was? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The movie did.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And frankly, this has been a lot of fun. I have to admit, introducing Facebook into the show this year has been a lot of fun for me personally because I've had a chance now to converse with and meet people, even if it's been, you know, virtually, football fans from all over the world. Because of it. And so it's been grateful. I think we've been able to. Yeah, we are global. It's fantastic. I don't know, you know, what the case will be for next year. But I hope that you know, next year, if we don't have a fan page of some kind set up, that we'll continue to use my own personal page for this purpose. And in the off season, no need to unfriend. Just you know, whenever football news happens, I'm sure that I'll put up some kind of a post. And if people feel like they want to answer it, or they've got, you've got questions or whatever, fire away. That's what we're here for. That's what really social networking is supposed to be about. So I've been gratified to have so many football fans you know, sign up and be a part of it all. So we'll definitely keep that rolling throughout the course of the year. There's no doubt about that one. All right, let's see what we got here. Let's start it off then, Eric, with our friend Steve on Facebook, who says, John, to answer the question from a few weeks ago, if the Pats lose, will it be a disappointment? For me, it was, but it doesn't diminish what was accomplished during the regular season. With that said, my nitpicks today are the rookie tight ends, specifically Gronkowski showing his freshman-ness in clutch moments. The biggest nitpick is the disconnect between Brady and Belichick as the game went on. There's one noticeable moment when the TV camera specifically picked up Belichick yelling, throw the ball, during the long drive of run after run and going nowhere. Do you think Brady was calling the plays at one point? I fear there is some kind of strain on that relationship that could affect future success. What do you make of it?
I didn't see that.
I didn't either.
That's the first I've heard of it. Interesting. I mean, Brady does have audible ability out on the field, and if he's checking down, if he sees three linemen in front of him and eight people looking like they're going to drop into the box, I think that might be an explanation for why they ran so many times with Woodhead, because I was wondering at the time, why are we not seeing Green Ellis get these carries if that's the call? So maybe it wasn't the original call. Maybe Woodhead was in there because they were intended to be pass plays, but if Brady saw something and checked off at the line, that could be an explanation for it. Maybe Bill was getting frustrated with how many audibles he was calling.
Well, he couldn't have been any more frustrated with that than we all were when they were running the ball in the second half, you know, in the fourth quarter.
Down two scores.
Down two scores. Yeah. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. People have made the comparison to Donovan McNabb in Super Bowl 38.
Yeah, and what did we say? Yeah, and what did we say about Donovan in that game?
He had a brain fart.
He looked like he was clueless.
Right. Nonchalant.
And his time. Are we willing to say that about Tom Brady? Are we willing to say that about Bill Belichick? Do we hold them to the same standard that we held McNabb to, you know, 2 years ago when that happened?
Absolutely. We were in the press box. The buzz around the press box at the time was, why are they taking so long? What are they doing?
There was no sense of urgency.
Didn't look like that.
And when we've seen this team excel when they're in the hurry-up offense and yet they weren't doing it, leads me to believe that they just weren't prepared to take advantage of what the Jets were throwing at them.
Yeah.
I find that whole thing just inexplicable.
I made this point on the last show, and I made it in I think I made it in my post-game analysis. Should have seen this coming earlier in the week when I went out to practice. And typically this season, when they've been faced with huge games, you know, the last Jets game, the Colts game, the Steelers game, they were very loose. They were very confident, very exuberant at practice. You know, a very fun. The atmosphere was fun. Not to the point of taking it lightly, but they were enjoying the moment. They were enjoying their confidence. And I didn't see that this past week in practice. I saw a team that was very serious, very focused, very businesslike. Those are even some of the terms that they used to describe their practices this week. I think they got too tense, John. I think they got too wound up in the moment, like in Super Bowl 42. That whole week leading up to the Super Bowl, the Giants were the ones who were coming out saying, you know what, to hell with this team. We're good too. We're going to win. We're not afraid to say it. Mm-hmm. We got nothing to lose. Let's go. Let's play this game. And all week the Patriots were, nope, we're not going to engage in that. We're going to just sit back. This is very serious. They weren't enjoying the moment. They got too tense, too wound up. And I think it happened again, John, and I didn't think I would ever see them do that again. And
well,
they
I
did
think
it again to another New York team in a big game.
I think, Eric, that just kind of shows you then what the overall level of maturity is with this team. It's still a young team. There's still a lot of immaturity on this team. And I think a more mature team, an 07 type of team, might have been able to overcome that.
The second time around, they didn't overcome it in 07.
No, but I think if they had the same basic makeup,
maybe.
I think they might have been able to overcome it. But I think that this team still is learning. I think we've seen, and unfortunately we saw it in a hard with a hard lesson learned, that there are still a lot of young guys that don't understand completely, maybe they do now,
The playoffs are a different beast.
Yeah, it's well, but that's the thing. They shouldn't be a different beast.
They are. They are. No, it doesn't matter.
But no, my point is, what got you there was your confidence. What got you there was taking practice as a fun exercise, not thinking, okay, oh my God, this is more serious now. I have to be more serious. Not to stress over it. What got you there, what got you 14-2 was the fact that you were taking big games like they were just another game.
All right, fair enough.
And then all of a sudden you hear all the veterans tell them, hey, this is different now. This is the playoffs. This is different. And all of a sudden you feel like, oh my God, this is different. This is the playoffs. That's not what got you here. And that upsets me a little bit because the veterans should have known better, especially the veterans who were on this team in 07. They should have known better not to take it so seriously.
Okay. Sam from Brighton is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And, Sam, you're in the playbook. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking about the offseason coming up. And I'm tired of the Patriots having a better offense than defense. And so I want us to go this offseason and use every one of our draft picks on a defensive player. And I don't care. People say we need a number one receiver, we need another running back. I think if we do absolutely nothing to our offense this offseason, maybe they'll take a step back. Maybe they'll go from like the best in the NFL to third or fourth. And I just want to see us have a dominant defense because I really believe that defense wins champions. And, you know, I mean, we have three first-round picks pretty much. If all those go to defense, you know, a defensive lineman, a pass rusher, maybe two pass rushers.
Well,
that's what I'd like to see.
Okay. I certainly understand your thought process behind that, but I'll tell you that this team still needs a running back. Whether or not you think that you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and or Danny Woodhead are going to be the answer, they're not.
Pretty sure Benny's a free agent too.
Is he?
He might be.
I'm pretty sure he is. I'm like 99% sure.
If he is, then obviously you know I think the Patriots will pay him and keep him. I don't think you say goodbye to a 1,000-yard rusher. But I do think the Patriots will try to take one. I don't know. My own personal wish was they take a guy like Mark Ingram with that 17 pick or John Clay from Wisconsin. I've talked about that now for 2 years. I don't know that they'll do that. I'm thinking now that if there's a nice, solid rush end, that might not be a bad idea with that slot. But, again, we're a couple of months away from really even beginning speculation on that. I do think, though, with one of those first three in the 33 – three picks in the first 33, that one of them is going to be an offensive player, and I'd say that the chances are at least 50-50, if not better, that one of them is a running back. Now, that's just my own personal thought. I also think the Patriots will probably look to offensive line. I also think
not that high. But
maybe not that high, but they're definitely going to, in the draft, going to look offensive line. I also think that in one of those first three, picks, I think that they will also look to a potential wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you might be right there. The thing that concerns me is that they drafted two offensive linemen in last year's draft. Neither one of them made the team.
Right. Well, even more reason then for them to look for another one.
I have a question.
Go. Yeah.
Do you think if the Patriots do absolutely nothing to their offense this offseason, do you think next year's offense will be better or worse than the offense they had in 04 and 03?
They do absolutely nothing, well, that can't happen because you have guys who are free agents who probably aren't going to
well,
be back.
Well, nothing, like, no, not one draft pick, and just re-sign, like, you know, Benny if he's a, he's no Logan, though.
Well,
yeah,
hard for us really to quantify that only because we just don't know who's going to be re-signed and who's not. I would tell you that largely if the skill players remain the same, and I think we can answer your question this way, Sam, and thanks for the call. I think we can say that this team won't be any worse, but then I would also be concerned with, well, if they got the same personnel, teams are going to know a little bit more about the Patriots than they knew this year, and so teams will be able to game plan better. So it's really not to the Patriots' advantage to stay the same.
Yeah, no, it's not. And it's never your advantage. If you have an opportunity to improve anywhere, you would do it. You do it. Yeah.
And you're not going to no team ever stays the same.
Mm-mm.
Even though it's not like college where after 4 years you graduate or 3 years you, and then you turn pro and it turns over a little bit every year. You know, in the pros, it's still a remarkable year. I mean, you know, we say in the college all the time, you know, because you know I do a lot of college football, mm-hmm. and we say in the college ranks all the time, oh, that team ought to be great. They've got 8 back on the offense, and they got 7 back on defense. That mm-hmm. team is a top 25 team. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that way in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's really not all that unusual.
Unless your guys are all under
unless
contract.
Unless your guys are all under contract. No. Right. But, I mean, it's still unusual if somebody says, wow, the Patriots have 10 starters back on offense. Mm. That's unusual. Really, when you think about it, because there's so much movement going on, and guys, and there's so much injury, and guys now move in free agency and such more so than they did even 10 years ago. The fact is that we could probably use that kind of collegiate terminology in the pros, and it would mean a lot of the same thing. It's just that they don't graduate.
Right.
They just move on to another team,
they
or they sign another contract.
Yeah.
But if you're able to get 8 starters back on offense next year, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and they have been lucky in that for the past, how many was it, since 05, I guess, when Mankins was drafted, they've had the same offensive line since then. Virtually.
And I don't think we're going to have
one
that.
Or two, one or two
I think
exceptions.
I think that's where the change is really going to happen on offense, is on the old
right.
line.
So you add those guys and Brady, that's 6, and add Wes Welker. So for the past 4 years, you've had basically 7 starters returning on offense
mm-hmm,
every year,
mm-hmm.
Which is rare.
Yes. Let's get to a couple more of the Facebooks here. Here we go. Mike says, yes, this team exceeded preseason expectations. Everyone thought a year away from competing for a Super Bowl anyway.
At least a year.
Right.
Not 2.
Cavern says, can't decide if I felt worse in 07 or the past 2 days. Disappointed, but thanks for your work this season.
Oh, definitely felt worse in 07 because, I mean, yeah, that was historic.
And that was a fluke play. And David Tyree is one-hit wonder. I definitely felt worse in 07.
Oh, yeah. But there were definitely correlations between Sunday's game and Super Bowl 42. I mean, even coming down to the Tyree-like catch that Braylon Edwards
made
the
end zone, which was one of the great catches I think I've seen.
No, not Santonio Holmes. Braylon Edwards on the sideline. Where he was resting it on his shoulder pad.
Correct.
Caught it on the side
of his helmet.
Yeah.
Right.
Looks familiar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did look familiar. But I got to say this about Holmes's catch.
Phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
Great throw.
What a catch.
I thought there was no way.
Better catch.
I thought that it would be challenged and overversed.
But you know what?
And I saw the replay and was like, holy
one knee,
smokes.
But don't forget, one knee
no, I know.
Equals 2 feet.
Correct.
He had one knee
he had
down.
A knee down, and that counted as 2. He didn't even need to
didn't
get the back
need,
foot
but
in.
But he got it.
And he got it in.
Yeah.
Even more incredible than Holmes is holding on to that ball and making the catch was Sanchez threading the needle.
Well, that's what I said. It was a great throw and a great catch.
I never thought Sanchez was capable of that.
He made 2 great throws in that game. That was one of them.
That was one of them. Yeah, and, you know, to that, all you can do is you got to applaud him.
Right.
I thought that
so
was an, that was an indefensible.
Sanchez didn't beat you, though.
No. But that was an indefensible pass and an indefensible catch.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing.
Nothing
the
that Kyle Arrington could have done
nothing.
On that play. No.
Nothing.
He did his best. He was there with
him. He was there.
Just
nothing he could have done. You can't throw it any better than that. Mary Beth, I was wrong. I was disappointed. But overall, many accomplishments this season. The defense matured nicely. Draft, here we come. And thanks for a greatly competitive season. All right, good way to look at it. Todd says, I expected the team to be 9-7, 10-6, with maybe playoffs. Everything that has gone on this season, I'm optimistic. With the 18th, 28th, 33rd picks to start off in the draft, need to bolster the spots at O-line, D-line, and outside linebacker. Maybe trade overrated Merriweather. I think James Sanders is underrated. Is it 18-28? I thought it was 17-29. Our picks in the first round.
17-28.
17-28.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So 17-28-33. Those are the mm-hmm. picks that we have in mm-hmm. April. Okay. Sean.
32-33.
Right. I agree with that one. Sean. No, because expectations were set a little higher. I wish we would have lost to Baltimore if we had to lose because, well, they were the only team I feel that could beat us. I was wrong, obviously. That's somebody who's obviously, a Jets hater, which is okay. Let's see. Todd says, it just stings losing to the GD Jets. You know they'll talk all offseason. Hopefully that just fuels Bill Belichick's fire. The Pats need a dominant force at defensive end, outside linebacker in 11.
Definitely need outside linebackers. Need guys that can get to the quarterback.
What about defensive end?
We've been
end?
Saying it for 3 years.
Right. What about defensive end? Does that go with one and the same? Do we look for a hybrid at that spot?
If there's one available, I think your priority is the linebacker.
given that this is a 3-4 defense.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll take a defensive end if there's a quality one available who can play a 3-4 end. And don't forget, Ty Warren should be coming back from his injury.
Should be.
He's been a forgotten man all year, but
right.
He's...
We expect that.
You know, he should be back. That should help the depth at that position. But you have some younger guys like Kyle Love. You know, Dedrick got the start despite his suspension the week before. Guys who stepped up and showed that they could play, that they had versatility. We don't know what's going to happen with Mike Wright and his health situation. I'm very concerned about him.
Do we expect Ron Brace back?
He's
still under contract.
I think you could expect him back, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there. I mean, there's less of an urgency there. They just need to get healthier, I think.
Right.
But definitely the outside linebackers and
defensive ends.
Safety would be my two.
Safety too?
Again, Merriweather doesn't do it for me.
Well, you know, I've said this about Brandon. I think that sometimes he plays too much on instinct and not enough with his brain. And I think that's the one fault that I find with Brandon Merriweather.
Not enough with his arms either, if you know where I'm getting at.
Yes. He really does not tackle well at all. He don't wrap people up.
No.
He tries to go for the big hit, and the guys bounce off him, or he spears guys, or he gets fined, or whatever. He's got to change some things technique-wise. I am not ready to give up on Brandon Merriweather.
I am.
Because I think he's got very solid talent. Obviously, some think it's Pro Bowl talent, but that's to be that's a point of conjecture, I suppose, with a lot of people. I think Merriweather will be back, but I do think, yeah, they'll probably look at somewhere, bringing in a safety. I would agree with that. I think maybe it's good to look for a safety somewhere. See if you can't, you know, push him.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, push him.
Push him or push him out.
Well, okay, so be it. But that's what I mean by pushing, right? Fred says, yes, it was. 14-2 with a lot of problems other teams would love to have. One pick and a drop pass from going up 14-0 in the first 5 minutes. Just the wrong time for brain cramps. We don't have any God-given right to win any game. You must play your best in the playoffs no matter who you are playing. Just ask the Saints.
Hmm.
That's probably the most level-headed post I've had in weeks.
Good
you
one.
Know?
Yeah.
But it's a good one, and it's accurate. Michael says, yes, the season still had plenty of success. 14-2 is a major in-season achievement. The loss to the Jets of all teams was very tough. They could have waited and lost to Pittsburgh. All right. Oh, and then Stripper says, no one's talking about Maroney getting busted?
Well, we kind of mentioned it.
You guys
it
did
at
a little
top.
Bit, right?
Did we? Or did we talk about it in the office? Yeah, I think we talked about it on the show.
Yeah, we did. Kevin
did.
Mentioned
yeah,
talking about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Gun charge.
He was pulled over for DUI?
That might have been. I haven't read the account, but it sounds like it involves guns and drugs. And,
right.
Car chase,
but apparently in St. Louis, his hometown. But we're told after the fact he had a permit for the gun.
Okay,
so but nevertheless,
but
I'm not dwelling on it because he's not a Patriot,
right? Exactly,
he's a former Patriot, but you know, hey, for that matter, so is
Randy Moss
and Dante Stallworth.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And we didn't really talk about that, and he killed a guy.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I hate to be flip about that. That was a horrible, horrible accident.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not a Patriot.
Difference was, in Stallworth's case, something bad happened to, I think, a good guy.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And not saying that Maroney was a bad guy either.
Sure, sure.
Maroney was actually one of the nicer guys to talk to in that locker room.
Right.
He had his issues... psychologically, I think, when it came to football, when it came to dealing with fans, people, that's where his issues were. Troubling, though, to hear that there might be something gun-related in what happened in this incident, which led him to be arrested. But, you know, you don't – just wish Lawrence the best, you know. He was a good guy. He was a good guy. Wasn't the greatest player that we thought we were getting, but, you know.
Yeah, I think it's
what's
probably,
happening in your computer over there?
No, it's just, you know, the email never stays open as long as you want it, so it timed out, and I don't have the login capability. So, all right, so let me hit a couple of more Facebooks while, you know, I get logged back into the email, because I don't want to leave anybody who took the time to send an email out today. I mean, this is the last show. This is the swan song.
This is it for
this is it
the
until
next few
September.
Months.
It's January. What's today? January 18th?
January 18th. Yeah, my dad's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday to your dad. How young is he today?
64.
God bless him. Wait a second. He's 64?
Yes.
You're 38.
Damn,
he had you young.
He did.
Not as young as my dad had me, though.
18?
20.
Really?
Yeah, my dad is 70. Well, my dad's 72, and I'm 51.
I was going to say, wow. My dad's almost, he's going to turn 60, so he had me late, real late.
A little bit later.
Yeah, he did have you later. But you know what, though? I had my Austin.
Thankfully, he wasn't firing blanks.
Austin was 30.
Oh, man.
God. Austin was 35. I was 35 when he was born.
Yeah. I was going to say, Austin looks damn 35. Good for a 35-year-old.
Yeah, he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
35,
yeah, he was born 35. He was born 35.
Yes, the Rookman age well.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much. All right, here we go. Michael. All right, here are my nitpicks. One, not getting any turnovers. Sanchez threw a number of bad passes with the way hawked the ball during the season. They could have forced Sanchez into two picks. Number two, the long drive in the fourth that yielded no points. Drive wasted time, got nothing in return. Number three, the officiating. There were a number of holds by the Jets. Helmet-to-helmet hit that wasn't called. Yes, I've heard that one discussed as well. And the personal foul on Mankins. There were offsetting penalties on that call. Okay. Let's see. Robert. I'd like to point out the obvious for this game that spotlighted the weaknesses of our team. Pass rush. The 2010 draft selected either to help the pass rush or pass defense. We got one of the two, just could not nail both. The safety position was outplayed by the Jets' wideouts. Cotchery took it to them with yards after the catch.
Sickening.
I think we saw that. That was the worst play of the game, in my opinion.
Sickening. Then he hurled a guy on the sideline.
Right, right.
Kept going.
Pressure or sacking Sanchez was mediocre to nil for the game. Jets' offensive line won the majority of the battles in the trenches. The rushing to the outside was exposing the Pats D terribly. A deep threat experiment never emerged from Brandon Tate. Dropping the ball is not a threat. Coaching had played.
That's a good line.
Yes. Coaching had paid off with schemes or trick plays in the past. Just this game exposed this in order to propel more points for the Jets. That's a good job of nitpicking, Robert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very good job of nitpicking.
Yep.
You hit on a lot of the things. I think that if we sat here long enough, we could probably come up with most of them. But I think you touched on a lot of problems that will be addressed.
Yeah.
Individually and as a team in the offseason.
Yeah. I hope so. But I mean, because we've been asking for them to address this outside linebacker thing for the past 3 years, and
he does
successfully.
He does answer his own post here. He says, I pointed out the negatives. Here are some positives that we've enjoyed: the emergence of rookies and second year players in offense and defense. The tight end showed up as a true strength for the team. The law firm and Wood Edge showed us great tandem for future seasons. Randy Moss trade made this team into a team. Team will get even younger this coming offseason with some key veteran acquisitions. Could Bill Belichick get more key positions filled with some great talent and leadership, like Algie Crumpler for tight end? Thanks to the Pats for a great season when most of us thought we were not even going to win the division. For me, I thought 9-7 or 10-6 would have honestly been the end result when Moss was off our hands. To see 14-2 was to prove all of us wrong, so losing this playoff game was also a surprise. Thank you, John. Enjoy the rest of the offseason. Could you come visit PFW sometime to keep us updated for your predictions for the draft, too? This was a very good season. The coaches measured all of the potential young talent for the future.
That's not a bad idea. You should drop by.
Just tell Fred. Fred's got to make the call on that. I'd be happy
to make the call. Just show up and sit down.
Before the draft?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see.
Because you're going to be around for
I'll be there for the draft party. I'm there for the draft party every year, so I host it
in
the clubhouse.
Stop by that week. Right. So.
There's a party?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big draft
party. Haven't been here.
Well, that's right. You joined us after last year.
You'll be involved.
Big draft party.
Although Andy thinks otherwise there.
You'll be involved.
All the season ticket holders. This is a season ticket holder event.
Yep.
And they open up the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse. And we follow the draft just like everybody else. Everybody's got their own personal scorecards, and I get up and make the announcements, and then we go live to NFL Network for the next pick, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's Thursday night is the first round,
right?
Like last year, so
we'll have potentially
two
picks.
It's a prime time type.
Prime time deal. It'll be on a Thursday night again this year. Yeah,
yeah, and potentially two picks. I say potentially because with this team they like to trade down and out.
Right, right.
But potentially two picks there, and then the next day it's rounds. Is it 2 and 3? Yeah, 2 and 3, and then 4 through 7.
Four through seven go on Saturday. Yeah. Right, 2 and 3 go Friday.
Friday.
First round is Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Yeah, it gets the primetime coverage.
So you're looking at potentially two picks on Thursday night, potentially four picks on Friday.
On Friday.
So a lot of activity in those first couple of days.
They do an event for one of the nights.
Yes.
The Thursday night.
Yes. Just the Thursday night is the only draft party night.
So if they trade out of the first round, it's kind of like, oh.
Well, yeah. No,
John,
kidding.
You had Andy and I on.
I had you guys on last year.
At the draft party right beforehand. And we both said, don't be surprised if they trade down and out.
And they did.
And they traded down, what, twice?
Yeah, twice.
So
before they went for McCourty.
Yeah.
Which obviously turned out to be a great pick.
It turned out to be a great pick, yes. But, you know, the people who showed up to the event were
expecting.
They
were booing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, don't kill the messenger. I'm just telling you this is what they're doing.
Right,
And to the point where it's kind of like, well, maybe we should just wait now and make the announcement.
And, you know,
after.
In hindsight, it's a good thing we. But in hindsight.
Wait until they make the pick, and then they can boo. They don't have to boo me first because I started to wait for them to throw food.
You know, the name that kept getting tossed around was your guy, Sergio Kindle.
Right, right.
Thank God they didn't draft him.
Well, you can also make the argument that if he comes to New England, he doesn't fall down a staircase either.
Well, but that happened the week before rookie camp, didn't it? Didn't it happen like almost immediately after the draft?
I can't even remember.
Because I don't think he ever really participated in anything with the Ravens.
No, he didn't. He didn't. And apparently, there's some doubt as to whether or not he even play this next year, too.
His career's in jeopardy, yeah.
All right, Steve says, John, thank you for giving us an entertaining show day in and day out this season. This is my first full year of listening to the show. I appreciate all the time and effort you put in. My hopes for the rest of the postseason are Pittsburgh destroying the Jets, Green Bay winning in Chicago, and then Green Bay winning the Super Bowl. I hope and pray the New Jersey team leaves this season without any championship, without any banner, without the hats and T-shirt celebration. Steve, it's been my pleasure, and I think most of Patriot Nation would concur with everything you just said. There is a football god. Zach, hey, John, overall this season is a success, despite a disappointing end. I'm thrilled with the tight ends, Connolly's play, McCourty, the return of Branch, Green Ellis running hard, the acquisition of Woodhead. However, I was let down by the play of Butler, Merriweather, lack of a pass rush, and, of course, losing a playoff game at home for the second year in a row. Also, props to Patrick Chung being a man and taking responsibility for the punt debacle. Mm. Thanks for a great year. Hopefully talk to you in September.
Yeah.
I feel likewise, Zach. Dagmar, a friend in Miami, says this is part one of two. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Dag, here you go, buddy. I'll give you a shot because he's a loyal listener. Says, John, I'm not listening to the show today because of a firewall at work that doesn't allow any kind of stream. But I decided to answer your question via Facebook since it's very practical for the show. Thank you. That's why I did it. Because I knew not everybody could listen. Okay, so just keep your Facebook page open. There you go. We follow along here. All right, I think that when the season started, yes, not many gave the Patriots a chance to win the division, even less to have the best record in the entire league. Yes, they did have a phenomenal regular season. Now, you can also make the case that the hopes of many to see this young team make it to the Super Bowl and actually win it were somehow built up over the fact that the team showed character and ability to work with whatever tools were available. I do think, however, that they have underachieved since they were not able to take advantage of a bye week to prepare for an opponent that, in this case, was a very familiar one.
Well, they underachieved in that game.
In the game.
They overachieved as far as the season is concerned.
So I think he's, you know, we'll make that distinction for him. I'm assuming that's his distinction as well. Mm-hmm. There's no question, Dagmar, that we'll say they underachieved in that game, especially when you beat somebody 45-3 the last time you play them. All right, and then he says part two here. They flat out got beat up by their own mistakes, which could be attached to lack of experience in some key positions. Too many distractions got in the heads of the players, causing them to hesitate and therefore underperform. Sorry, there is no next time or tomorrow in the playoffs. Winners find the way to win. Crush the competition no matter what. Anyway, thank you for a wonderful season. Hope to have you back for the next one.
Yeah, hope so too.
Glenn, season was still a huge success. Just wish the loss wasn't against Gang Green. Jets still suck, suck, suck. Go Packers for the Super Bowl now that we're out. Have a great time off. I won't have a great time off. It means football's over, damn it. How can anybody say my time will be great off?
I know.
I mean, yeah, I get to go out and I'll concentrate now completely on college football. I mean, basketball.
Right.
College basketball the rest of the way. But it's never enjoyable when football season comes to an end because I've always been a football guy. You know, it's just that's I grew up in Texas where you strap on the pads when you're 5 years old. And I did. I wasn't very good at it.
5 years old?
Yes, sir.
Full contact?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
11 on 11 or the 8-man variety?
No, it was 11 on 11.
Yeah?
They taught us everything. And I played right up and through into eighth grade, and that's when I started getting the crap beat out of me. And I said, I think basketball's more my sport because I was a late bloomer, okay? I was probably the last person that I knew to hit puberty.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was very late. I was one of those guys that, like, oh, damn, I got to go in the shower.
I still say that.
I can laugh.
I heard you retarded or something.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Speaking of puberty, this Amy K. Nelson's pretty cute, huh?
She is. Who is that?
I think she's a baseball writer for ESPN.
ESPN the magazine?
Yeah. Well,
okay. Yeah. No, she didn't. Wow, can't see her feet. Really cannot soft. See her feet.
Oh, God.
They're, like, really soft.
All right. Here's Giovanni. He gives us a good one here. He says, this team gave us a great season. What was supposed to be a rebuilding season turned into yet another championship run. Finishing with the best record in the NFL, the Moss trade, the 45-3 game against the Jets, Connolly's 71-yard return, this team gave us nothing short of a highlight reel. So while we're all sad about the loss to the Jets, let's try not to forget what we did accomplish this year. I'm devastated, distraught, sick, sleepless about the way our season ended, especially to a bunch of classless thugs with their belligerent leader. For 14 games, Tom was amazing. Bill was genius. Wes was all heart. Ben Jarvis was fearless. Vince was foreboding. The secondary took shape. And though he's not here, Randy's one-headed catch against Revis, and we were that team once again. Don't leave your team because of one bad performance. He says 2011 will rock. All right. I think it's well put, Giovanni. Well put.
So on NFL Network, John, they've got what looks like a live shot of the NFL League meeting.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure where it's taking place. I forgot. But and there's the super little slug on the bottom of the screen.
Current CBA expires in March.
Expires in March. So Jeff Pasch, the NFL Executive VP of Labor and League Council.
Mm-hmm.
Has been, you know, one of the quotes that you see in stories about the CBA and the
right.
labor negotiations is,
right.
is at a podium speaking live right now, presumably about this issue. And that's why we keep referencing throughout the show about hopefully next year and the way the offseason is going to be. And Friday, March 4th is a date to keep in mind this offseason.
Right.
It's the day that the current deal expires and the next one hopefully will begin. But there's no new deal in place yet. And from talking to the players in the locker room, the sense that I'm getting is that they expect some sort of work stoppage to take place, but not to affect the regular season.
So for a short period of time,
they
probably
will
be locked out.
There will be a lockout, which means free agency gets affected. Off-season strength and conditioning programs get affected. Spring practices, mini camps, passing camps, OTAs get affected. Potentially training camp gets affected, which means potentially
depends on how long the lockout goes.
So all of these things get affected. What we know for sure is that the playoffs will continue. The combine will take place the end of March to the beginning of the end of February to the beginning of March. March 4th rolls around. At this point, we have no idea what's going to happen, but the only thing we know thereafter is that April 28, 29, 30, the NFL draft will take place. That's what we're looking at this offseason. We really don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with PFW.
We really don't know. Will you guys still publish?
Well, again, there's so much. Everything is so up in the air, we don't even know what's going to happen with us.
Wow.
So It's even yet another reason why I'm disappointed that this season has come to an abrupt halt, because I was hoping that at least with this looming cloud, we could at least go into that storm having achieved the highest goal in football and having had the chance to cover it.
And at the very least, the distraction of having football here
keeps your mind off of things. Yeah,
2 to 3 weeks would be. You know,
More than that, too, because then you'd have the trip to the White House to look forward to.
The parade.
You'd have the ancillary stuff after the fact.
And Eric, to relate to your point, you know, being an employee here, Sunday night after the game, when you go home and your head hits the pillow, that's immediately what I started thinking about, was the impending lockout and how it would affect all of us. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, you know, all we know so far is that, you know, those things that I mentioned, those are the only certainties. If you are the praying type, or, you know, believe in karma and the power of positive thinking. You have to hope that these millionaires and billionaires, the players and the owners, decide not to be greedy, to come to their senses, to realize that it's not just them that's being affected by all this, that there are a lot of other, you know, direct reports, employees, contractors, a lot of other people involved. This the NFL is a huge, it's a multi-billion dollar a year business that affects a lot of people's livelihoods and a lot of people's psyches, frames of mind. I mean, right. Look at how many people write to us and say that our little two-hour shows on the internet get them through a day. Our little Ask PFW column gets them through Tuesday afternoons. I mean, just little things like that. People love football, live, breathe it all year. Just even the thought of there not being anything in the offseason to talk about, because there's no offseason in the NFL anymore. We all know that. As soon as the playoffs end, as soon as the Super Bowl ends, it's all about the draft and free agency. And after the draft, it's all about mini camps. Then there's that little window at the end of June and early July when there's no official activity.
Right.
But that's when people go on vacation and take time to rest up and get ready for.
Because late July,
boom,
training camp.
Boom.
Right.
It's a full year-round thing, and rightly so. It's a great game. It's a fun game to watch. It's a fun game to play. It's a great game to follow, to cover.
Well, I'm with you. I hope that we don't do what we saw back in 87, which is the last time we missed games. 1987 strike was the last time that the NFL missed games, and I realized that for some of our listeners, they weren't even alive.
Some of them weren't even born at
weren't even
that
born
time.
When that happened. I remember it very well.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Was working in television in San Antonio at the time, and I covered both the Cowboys and the Oilers at the time. And
then Houston Oilers.
It was I was actually the Oilers training camp reporter, even though I did cover some of the Cowboys. But I had the Oiler beat, if you will, and went to their training camps in San Angelo at the time, mm-hmm. which was, you know, good Lord. I mean,
night and day.
Oh man, was that place hot? That's really? All I can tell you. That place was just hot. I've never been as hot in my life as I've been in San Angelo, Texas. But let me say this: I remember what it was like to not have games, and then of course, then there were games with. You know, replacement players. That was how the movie The Replacements came about.
Yeah.
And of course, we had that again when did we have that again? 90. When was that?
What, Replacements?
We had Replacements. When did we have Replacements again?
No, I thought 87 was it.
No. I'm trying to remember the year. This was very early in the process because Doug Flutie came in as a replacement player. Don't you remember back in the late 80s?
That was 87,
John. Was that 87?
Yeah, because 82 was the first strike.
No.
82 was a strike year.
Yes, 82 was a strike
year. 87 was a strike year.
87 was a strike year. There was another year where we had replacement players.
I thought it was 87. I thought that was the year Flutie crossed the line.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe it's happened so long ago. We're talking 20 years ago that I've blurred the memory. Somebody is going to remind me here.
Pretty sure 87 was the last one.
Seemed like I was already here.
And you
covering
came here
the team. I came here in 88. After the 87 strike it was over, I came here in 88. That was my first season to cover this team and this franchise. Because the first year I was there, remember I told you I did one Rod Russ TV show.
Yeah.
When he was the coach. It was actually Raymond Berry the first year, and then the next year it was Rod Russ. He was the coach in 89, I guess it was. I think it was 89. So I'm trying to remember when that was. I thought it was 90, and I may be wrong, but there was a partial use of some of lack of a better phrase here, replacement players, scabs, somewhere in, I think, I want to say it was 1990.
I don't recall.
Okay. Anyway.
Maybe someone
it's been
it
20 years plus.
Yeah.
All right. We'll leave it at that. It's been,
been a generation.
It's been a generation since this has happened. And while it's easy to get behind guys who play the game for the fun of it and for the game of it, it's not the same quality as we've seen. No. And so I don't know that the owners would ever want to go that far again. Based on how they've built up the NFL and the expectations of the NFL now to perform and deliver entertainment value to the paying public. But I will tell you this, the NFL knows how popular it is with you and you and you and you and you and you and me. Mm. And so I really believe that if it's at all possible, they will get this deal done. You're right. We might have a week. We might have 2 weeks. We might even have a month. I'm saying I'm going to make a call right now. That this deal is done before the draft takes place.
I hope you're right, because that doesn't affect too much. That
no.
gives them enough time
Which
to
is
have
why
free agency and everything else.
Everything can still happen as it needs to happen. But there will be roughly 7 weeks of uncertainty around the National Football League.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't know that they'll be able to overcome any negative publicity that will come out because of that. I will tell you, I really believe that these two sides will both realize it's better for the game, and this is what they have to realize, and the players have to understand this too. It's better for the game if everybody gives a little.
Mm.
And that's what's going to happen.
They're
going to get a lot in return still. They're going to get a lot for former players. You know, the pension thing will probably get taken care of, which needs to be addressed. And I think they're going to, you know, and I think they'll set themselves up in better shape as well for when they retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the major issues that has to be addressed. Won't get into the big spiel here because I got a lot of other emails I want to get to, but I will tell you this. I think that extra 7 weeks between the end of the CBA, March 4th, or 8 weeks almost, and then the draft on, what was it, April 28th?
28, 29, 30.
Okay.
Yep.
That time period right there, I think that's when the deal gets done. I don't know if they'll announce it at the draft, but I'm telling you this. I think the draft will be BAU, business as usual.
Your lips to God's ears,
well,
my
okay.
friend.
I'm going out on a limb.
I hope you're right.
I'm trying to utilize a little common sense and business sense at the same time.
I hope you're right.
Knowing that this has to get done.
Right.
Because this would be an unmitigated professional disaster in this country if the National Football League doesn't play next fall.
And, you know, people like to call the draft the oasis of the offseason desert. And that's the time when football fans gather collectively at homes, at sports bars, all around the country to think, live, breathe football. And if what's on their minds is the fact that there's no football and just the draft, they're going to be a lot of unhappy people. And I think you're right. The NFL needs to recognize that.
All right, let's get to Mary Lou, Mary Beth, by the way. She says here, you guys are so right, it'll take me a few weeks to overcome my depression. No football. Yeah, I think it's going to be that way for a lot of people. Stripper says, Jaws said on ESPN the fake punt would have worked had he not bobbled it.
It might have, yeah.
And when they play well versus Sanchez, they play man. There were three key third downs where they played zone and the Jets converted. Okay. I thought that too. They played zone, Jets converted. I thought they were better playing man. I thought that was, you know, one of the problems, though, that we kind of nitpicked against the Patriots secondary all year is they played too soft. And so they went to more man coverage because I think they felt like guys like McCourty and Arrington could play man coverage, were capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Why would they revert back to that? These are questions, obviously, that'll probably never get completely answered. All right, back to emails here, and thank you for putting them in. There's a ton of them here. I'll get to as many as I can before we wrap up here. And then, of course, don't forget Pete Shepard will be in for the final Pete Shepard show beginning at 4 o'clock, and he'll be here for an hour.
Is that
today.
Right, Kevin?
Oh, he's not coming
he's
in?
He's coming in Thursday.
He's coming in Thursday.
Oh, he's coming in Thursday.
Because of the weather.
Okay. Oh, because of the weather? What a weenie. You heard me, Pete. You heard me.
You're from Rhode Island, John, right?
I know. I drove in.
I'm from Rhode Island.
All right.
Isn't he from Rhode Island?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but he didn't live there anymore.
Oh, he doesn't?
No, not currently.
Oh.
All right. So Pete will be here on Thursday then. Okay, fair enough. After you guys on Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob says, guys, not including the draft, but out of free agents who out there would you like to see the Pats try to get for a pass rusher? I think a good pass rush is the one thing defense is in serious need of. I know it not only is the only thing, but if they could make another quarterback or make other quarterbacks a little nervous back there, it would probably help.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give us a little bit of time to do our homework.
Yeah,
I mean, the season just ended. We're still depressed. We haven't gotten. I haven't even.
We kind of have to really evaluate personnel. But
yeah.
Trust me when I say this, Jacob. You know, PFW will have that information for you in fairly short order,
and we'll be spending most of our time on that. So, just in due course. I mean, got to give us at least this 1 week to get through the loss and. Because we were expecting to be covering football for the next 3 weeks.
Right.
So
that really has kind of been a little bit of a surprise here. Right?
We have to do our usual, you know, just normal house cleaning, literally cleaning out our cubicles and
no doubt.
Organizing for the off season. And it's a whole different frame of mind covering football games and covering football business. It's a completely different schedule, a format. I mean, our days are just completely different than they are during the regular season.
Steve says, earlier this year, you were wondering how old your audience is. Remember when we were asking that question?
Yeah.
He says, I'm 25. I was one going on two during the last time there were missed games. So
thank God for you. You missed
no
it.
Real, yeah, no real reference there. Yeah. No real reference
it was
there
ugly.
At all.
It was ugly.
It wasn't pretty. Yeah. It wasn't fun. All things considered, this comes from John. This was a good year. Belichick brought in a core of young, high-character players that brought back the Patriot way in terms of high-character team first. They have a lot to build on going forward. Look at how much better shape they're in this year than they were last year at this time. Great job on the show this season.
Quick little update on that NFL Network feed that we just saw. The commissioner got up and spoke after Jeff Pasch. He left the podium, and as he was leaving with your Patriots owner, Robert Kraft.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And the two were discussing what, you know, let your imagination run
well,
there. Well, let's hope they were talking about how they can get this done.
I'm sure they
the
are.
The quote that NFL Network
Mr.
put up there,
Kraft, by the way, has always said,
he has said
he's positive in this thing. He's, well, gonna, he's got a positive way of thinking, or he thinks it'll
yeah,
get done.
He's, well, that's the key. What's not said there is when. I'm confident, too, that it'll get done.
But
when,
will we miss football because?
When will it get done?
Right.
And I asked that to Deion Branch the other day, and he said, oh, we're not close. And I he expects there to be some sort of lockout, but that football will not be the football season won't be affected.
Okay.
Words from Deion Branch. That's his thinking. I hope he's wrong. I hope Robert Kraft is right. I hope that they get it done before this one expires. That would really be, I mean, even if it comes down to the night before, I don't care. That means we're not missing a beat. But there's plenty of time. They've had plenty of time to get this done. Just do it.
Jesse in Maui checks in. Aloha, Jesse. It was a hard loss to swallow, but all in all, I think it was a good year. Had potential to be great, but here's why it was a good year. 14-2, lowest-ranked defense, Welker back from a horrific knee injury, Moss leaving. No one, including myself, thought they would get as far as they did.
Brady MVP season.
Exactly. I really could have expected the loss better if it wasn't the Jets, but hey, it's my team for better or worse. I think that they are a great team and support them always. Also, all the radio shows on here, also great. Thank you guys for all of your insight and laughs, and look forward to next season. Again, thanks.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Riley family. Okay. Oh, this is Andy in Afghanistan. Thanks for checking in, Andy.
Thanks for your service.
You bet.
Apparently.
He says, I actually predicted that the Pats would lose this game. I called my dad when the Jets beat the Colts and said this won't be good, and it wasn't. What I thought was missing the whole season was inconsistency. Their success was mixed with luck, mistake capitalization. They're young. They lack the experience. I also think team chemistry may have been missing. Just some thoughts. Andy, thank you, as Eric just said, for your service as well in Afghanistan. I don't really find any major issue with that. I think your team chemistry issue, though, probably speaks more just the overall immaturity and lack of veteran leadership on the team.
Oh, there was a lot more team chemistry this year than last year.
Yeah, I just think that this is more, this was more of a maturity issue, and guys, frankly, just not bringing it on Sunday when it was a playoff game, and they needed to know that, and they didn't do it.
Maturity is the issue, not chemistry.
Right,
I would agree. Had plenty of chemistry. This was a tight team. This was a very tight team.
It begs the answer
tight-knit, not tight as intense.
Yeah, but it begs the question though. Well, if there was so much good chemistry, how come the older guys couldn't impart to the younger guys that hey, this is a different world here?
Well, I think they did, and I think that's what
and
went
still took
wrong.
Them by surprise.
I think that's what went wrong. They made it sound like it was different. They made them do something different than they'd been doing for the past 16 weeks.
I see.
And I think that's where they went wrong. And the veterans should have known better.
How about this? We're going from Hawaii to Afghanistan to Alaska.
Okay.
Okay, Robin.
Four corners of the compass.
Yes, Robin in Alaska. Guys, just wanted to say thanks for the closing show. I've wanted one of these for ages. Well, thank you, Robin, for following this show for ages.
Yeah.
The question of the day, was this a good year? Yes. Why? Well, like Eric, I had the dynasty as being over. Kidding. But seriously, I thought this squad would struggle to bring in 10 wins. Then when the defense was getting walked all over during the season, I thought this team could implode. Kudos to the Patriots for pulling out 14-2. It's unfortunate the season ended to the Jets, but I had a feeling it's tough to play a team multiple times a year, let alone a heated division rival. It's hard for me to stomach that. These mouthy Jets backed up their talk, but they did, and so to deny it would be insane. Kudos to them. But all considered, what a ride this season has been. One team always has to lose. It absolutely sucks. It was the team I cheer for, but life goes on. Unfortunately, next year could be even tougher. The Patriots and Jets are really a modern rivalry now. The Jets have won when it mattered, and they've won at Gillette. Here's hoping Belichick works his magic in the offseason. I don't like feeling like a Colts fan. Good one, Robin.
I don't blame you.
Good one. Yeah. All right, John, another John here. Good year. Very good year. Horrible the way it ended. The loss was bad on two major factors. A team who had showed its undoubted ability and dominance absolutely failed when it mattered most. The team looked dull. My wife actually said it at the start of the game, how dull Brady looked, how the team had no fire, no snap, like they didn't want to play. We talked about that earlier. Said number two, who we lost to. Had we lost to the Steelers, the Colts, even the Ravens, it would have been bad, but the Jets made this just impossible to take. It's as if we gave in to the loudmouth bully. The bad guys won. This just doesn't happen. But back to the topic, a rebuilding season with a huge amount of rookies to do what we did. It was a very good year. Not great. Not how we wanted. Go Packers. Toussaint. That was a tough loss. I don't know, but right now it feels just as bad as 07. I don't want to nitpick because I listened to WEEI yesterday and all the callers were trashing people. This is still a good team. They won 14 games in the regular season. I just wanted to thank you for all the great shows this year. Hope you have a great off season. Also give Kevin a shout out. He did well in his rookie year as well. Okay, Kevin, there's your shout out. Okay. And thank you for tuning in to some. All right, here we go. And I hope I've said his name right the whole time, you know. T-O-U-S-S-A-I-N-T.
If it's French, I think it's Toussaint.
Toussaint?
Mm.
Okay. Very good. You a little French pastry, do you?
I studied for about 6 years.
Did you?
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Loved it.
Like it. Love Paris, by the way.
You lying your ass off.
No, no, sir. I'm not. 6 years.
6 years of French.
Yep.
Wow. That's impressive.
It doesn't surprise me in the least.
But I've never been to Paris or France.
Oh, now that's fun.
You'd appreciate the artwork out there, too.
I'm sure I would.
Yes, it's excellent. I've been to the Louvre.
Have you?
And I've seen the Mona Lisa.
Were you disappointed like everybody else?
Yes.
I'm like, is it so small?
Yeah, I'm like, that's it?
Mm.
That's it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when people, where I'm from.
I know about getting that reaction, John.
That's what she
said. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's what she said. That's it? That's all you
right,
got?
Yeah. Sorry.
Believe, well, hey, I think.
I'm versatile, though.
Yeah, I know. We make up for it in other matters.
That's what she said.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But it's kind of like the part of the country where I'm from Texas, and people go see the Alamo for the first time, and you think about this fortress, right?
Yes, it's tiny.
A stinking little adobe church.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's it?
Right.
That's the reaction that I get when I take people to San Antonio and they look at the Alamo, which is the sacred shrine.
And are there buildings towering next to it
now?
Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah.
So
it's even kind of like parked right in the middle of downtown. It's
right?
Dwarfed by all this, and it's just tiny and it's crumbling. And, you know, because it was an adobe church mission that was built back in the 1600s originally. Jeez, come on. Cut them some slack, you know? It wasn't exactly supposed to be a fort. It was a church. Okay. Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. Hi, guys. I didn't think teams would be able to trade for players since the draft will happen, but the free agency wouldn't. Am I wrong? I was thinking we couldn't try to unload Pro Bowl safeties or trade picks for players. Are you sure we could trade for Larry Fitz?
Well, I asked that question on PFW in Progress because I wasn't sure if trades, like draft day trades, like we saw with Ellis Hobbs, with Randy Moss, I wasn't sure if that would be able to happen this year if the league were locked out. And the guys seemed to think that if the player was under contract, it's possible, but we don't have a definitive answer on that. That's one of those things we're going to have to find out if it comes to that point, but hopefully it doesn't.
All right. Alejandro. John, first of all, thank you for the program. It was a fun year. Any chance you could do a weekly playbook up until the Super Bowl? Nope.
It's going to be tough for us even to do the next, what is it, five shows of PFW in Progress leading up to the Super Bowl because, yeah, you know why.
You're in off-season mode, I know.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be tough to do because we should be talking about the Super Bowl.
Let me say the reason I can't is because I have college basketball commitments, so that's part of it. Even if the Patriots had won, I still would have had some college basketball commitments. I would have made time to do as many shows as possible, but that's just that's the time of year that it is.
And we already had put the bug in people's ear about this being your hometown for the Super Bowl. And
don't tell me I was going to get to go.
We were trying to get that to happen.
Oh man, that sucks.
We were trying to get that to happen.
Asked you what your basketball schedule would have been.
Well, I have a game. The only game I think I had that week was the day before the game on Saturday. So I would have had to fly back, you know, for that, or have someone fill in. But
have someone fill in.
Hey, listen, if I got to stay for the game,
yeah.
I would have had somebody fill in. You know,
nice package, Bear.
Yeah, well, All right, here we go. So he says, I was stunned as in Super Bowl 42 stunned. I don't know why the Patriots couldn't figure out the Jets' scheme. To answer your question, this team exceeded my expectations, but I don't think it's enough to classify as a good year. I'm not talking about winning the Super Bowl, but you can't lose at home on your playoff opener against an 8.5-point dog. It's looking at it practically. I want your opinion on something. Talk now is how the three straight playoff losses have tarnished Tom Brady's reputation. Was Montana considered a lesser quarterback during his time, or is it an overreaction now by the media?
Was Montana considered a lesser quarterback in his time?
Right, because he lost wild card round in 85, he lost divisional round in 86, he lost divisional round in 87, because he had a similar stretch than what Brady is going through now. Does this tarnish his reputation? I would say no. And you provide your own real ammunition with that, Alejandro, because I don't think we look back at Joe Montana's career 25 years later and say he was any less of a quarterback because he lost some playoff games.
No, no. In the heat of the moment, you think that.
Yes, you do. But I think what you have to do is, again, do what we did at the start of this show today. Look at the big picture. Consider what Tom has worked with, who he's had to throw to, who's blocked for him, who he's had to hand the ball off to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the big picture into consideration. And when you understand that this team largely wasn't expected to be where it was,
right.
No, I don't think it tarnishes his reputation. Now, I will tell you this, that you know he's 33 years old. He probably has, what, we hope, knock on wood, 4 or 5 more good years. He says he wants to play at least 40.
Well, he's under contract through 2014.
Okay. So he's got, you know, at least 4 more years, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Mm. Okay. So he's got at least 4 more. If he doesn't get back to a Super Bowl in these 4 years, then I think maybe another 10 years on down the line, we might look back on it and say, wow, he could have been the greatest to ever play the game, but he's going to fall short. Now, if Tom Brady gets back to a Super Bowl and wins at least one more, and I would say probably 2, but if he can get back and win one more to make it 4, and then he gets up there in Terry Bradshaw echelon, I think, mm-hmm. at that time, then I say no way. Do 3 straight playoff losses tarnish his image?
No, of course not, because that will be the last thing that people remember, too.
Right, and right now I don't think it tarnishes his image. Because, like I said, I'm going to compare. I'm going to use your own comparison.
It has people talking, though.
Yeah, it has people talking, but I'm going to use your own comparison, Alejandro, to what you brought up in the mid-'80s with Joe Montana. And I look back on Montana and say, I don't think it tarnished him at all. Montana, to me, is still one of the great quarterbacks who have ever played the game. I don't know that you can ever define a definitive greatest player ever. But Montana's in the conversation, as far as I'm concerned. Sterling. Goal for next season. Get a big receiver that can break it open on the outside instead of the inside. Is Larry Fitzgerald even good anymore? He might be short. Another pass rushing in and linebacker. Find a corner. Butler stinks. Well, duh. I've been beating that drum all year.
Yeah, but he's not starting either, so.
No. Was in there way too much for my liking on Sunday. Multiple skilled, fast running back, pass catcher, run, block, power, speed. Pats are now known as a soft finesse team. Brady chokes now. Teams get charged to play. Pats can't bang back anymore. Where are the Rodney Harrisons, Seymours, McGinnis, Troy Browns when you need them? I'm sure that will all be addressed. All right. Well, this one's for Ask Fred, so I'm going to leave it for Fred. Let's see what else we have here. Okay. Caesar in Burlington, Mass. says, the Pats will win it in 2011, 2013, and 2014. He doesn't say why they won't win it in 2012, but that's his prediction.
Exactly 10 years after they won their first, second, and third?
Third, yeah.
Really?
10-year anniversary, I guess, right?
Okay.
Okay. I think we'd all take that right now.
Sure.
I'll take it right now. Matthew.
I'll take one of those.
Yeah. Matthew says, I feel like I'm typing a sad Dear John letter today.
Well, you are!
Because we won't be hearing you until September. It seems like such a long way off, but it will be here before we know it. I'd just like to thank you for reading my abusive emails and giving me that cyberspace soapbox to stand up on and be a wise guy from. This has got to be Brooklyn Matt, then. I think it is. I had a good time. I'm going to miss your corny, squeaky, clean Texan personality, be it from the goofily old and outdated playbook intro with the barking football lingo and jargon phrases sprinkled over lame-o marching band music paired with your interminable nerdy phone calls with Buster Crabbe, Russell Baxter. Russell Baxter. All right, there's a signal to redo the open for next year, guys. They're not even paying attention.
No, of course not.
Over the offseason, I'll be thinking of you from down here in Gotham, wondering what it is that an announcer with an announcing addiction does when his main gig evaporates. It's not my main gig, so it's not going to evaporate. John, do you scour the bottom reaches of announcerdom looking for your next announcer fix? John, does it get so that you'll sell your soul for just one more? Just one more tic-tac-toe game to announce? Just one more bingo night to announce the old folks home? Does it get so bad that you'll stop your car to announce three girls doing double Dutch jump rope in the street? This is good, man. I like it. John, we know you've come a long way from your controversial beginnings as the Branch Davidian compounds public interest.
That might be the best line he's ever written. I have never seen John laugh that hard at anything.
That's good.
Oh my God, that is funny.
By the way, the music bed for the playbook intro is NFL Films.
It's NFL Films.
NFL Films. It's not marching a marching band, you moron. Okay.
But that's
Brooke
classic
the Mad,
line.
I got to hand it to you.
The Branch Davidian. What did
he call it? He said the Branch Davidian Compound Public Address System announcer. There's fire in the building.
Wow. Oh, that's terrible.
Everybody, please leave in an orderly fashion.
That's terrible. Oh, that's terrible.
I can't stop crying now.
Just to be clear, John is not laughing at the fact that people died in the fire in that compound.
Of course not.
Tell Brooklyn Matt that this is for him.
All right, Brooklyn Matt, here you go.
For whatever reason, he has an obsession with I Want You to Want Me.
All right, there you go, Brooklyn Matt.
Wow.
He says, John, rest assured, whenever I walk by a Brooklyn stickball game, you'll be in my thoughts. I couldn't imagine anyone better suited to be hanging out a Brooklyn tenement window and giving play-by-play as a sort of delinquents run around the makeshift place.
A lot of this is fueled by Fred. For whenever John's gone, he goes, where's John? And I'm like, he's not here today. And he goes, oh, he's got another YMCA game to announce.
Thanks, Fred.
That is what a great email to end
I'm
the
saving
show on.
This email. I'm saving this email.
That's the best email we've gotten in a while.
he says, when the chess match between two old men in the park looks like... this rarely happens to me, boy. I got to tell you. that's outstanding.
Do you need a tissue for those tears?
No kidding. I'm crying my ass off here. Oh, my God. He says, it looks like the greatest thing to spend your afternoon announcing. John, be strong. Just say no. Just walk away, and I'll see you in September inside the Goofy Playbook. Knock on wood.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That's just outstanding.
Good job, Matt. Brooklyn Matt.
Where's the applause?
That's good stuff.
Yeah, that is excellent.
That's the good stuff.
Oh, my
Perfect
God.
Perfect time to read that, too.
Oh, Brooklyn Matt, you're awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Best email ever.
That's just an outstanding email. Woo. All right, let me see if I can get back on the straight and narrow here, because there's a couple more I really want to read, but you're right, that's a great one to end it with. Guys, I don't want to see the Patriots draft a running back or wide receiver in the first round. I think they will draft Mark Ingram if he is on the board. Why don't the Patriots get a running back in free agency such as Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, D'Angelo Williams, or Cedric Benson? Wide receiver, they should trade for one of their first-round picks or second-round picks. Vincent Jackson is Sidney Rice a free agent? Spend some money. I won't read what he wrote after that. He didn't sign his name to it either. So there you go. Let's see. Jesse in Maui says, is Brady going to the Pro Bowl? If not, that's my nitpick.
He hasn't said no yet, but I would expect that to happen.
You think he'll go?
No, I would expect him to say no.
Say no? Yeah, I do too. All right. Eleanor says, John and Eric, is there a Pete Carroll, Josh McDaniels connection from the New England days? How else can you account for Josh bailing on Sam Bradford and possibly coaching Blaine Gabbert in Seattle? I don't mind the Patriots not looking outside the organization for coordinators. Belichick loves to ape the Giants' style of having people only leave of their own accord, it seems. I have no problems with anyone on the coaching staff, but no would I be opposed to bringing McDaniels back in the organization. What he did for Kyle Orton was truly incredible. Is Josh's priority total control over the offense? Did he have that when he was in New England?
Total control over the offense?
Yeah.
Well, it was basically a system that was already in place. It was Charlie Weiss's system, if you will, that Josh learned under and inherited.
Okay.
So it's really been the same. It's been the same system for the 11 years that Bill's been here. The system really hasn't changed. The people calling the plays might have changed a little bit and have maybe added their own little signature here and there, but it's been basically the same format. I mean, it's rare that a quarterback like Brady, who's been in this with a team this long, has had the same system to play under. It hasn't really changed. And no, there's no connection between him and Carroll. McDaniels started his coaching career in 99, I believe, at Michigan State as an assistant. Carroll was still coaching here at the time.
Okay. Let's see, where we go to? Oh, I just had a Facebook request from someone who was laughing as hard as I was, and you were. Said, could you please post the email on the Facebook page? So it's a long email, but I will post it.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's an excellent one.
It's funny. It is funny.
Brooklyn Matt's best email ever.
His best effort. Good job, Brooklyn Matt. Now you got all offseason to come up with something to top that. So I will look forward to reading what you have to write.
And
all
right. My last thing to say on the show, John,
yes.
for this year,
yes.
You know, our job, even though we're paid by this organization, our offices are in this organization, one of the great things about working for PFW is that we're allowed to say what we think.
Right.
Unfiltered. We're allowed to give unbiased, objective opinions
right.
about not only the league, but this team specifically.
Correct.
And when I predict, like I did earlier in the year, that the team wasn't going to be that good, that they weren't going to make the playoffs, I wasn't doing it because I was trying to incite conversation. I wasn't doing it to try to, you know, do anything sensational. It was how I really thought, based on how I analyzed the team, and I was glad to say I was wrong. We enjoy covering this team. We enjoy covering a team that wins. And this season has probably been, for me, the most fun I've ever had covering football, covering this team. Probably even more so than 07 because of the fact that they overachieved. And because of the fact that there's this looming dark cloud of uncertainty with the CBA coming up. And I wrote a column, one of my first columns of the year was about appreciating every game this season, every moment, because we didn't know what was going to happen afterwards. And I tried to practice what I preached, and I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of covering this team this year, doing the show, going on the road trips, and I'm heartily disappointed that it came to such an abrupt end. I was really looking forward to going to Dallas and covering this team in the Super Bowl.
No kidding.
And actually being part of a winning organization.
I can't believe you guys are telling me that there was a good shot I was going to. Damn it.
I was looking forward to reading your blog entries about your travels in Dallas.
Yeah, I was too.
Listening to you bash balls.
What would have been great is to be able to take you guys to some of my old haunts in Fort Worth, which we would have done.
Yeah.
That would have been outstanding.
So, you know, as disappointed as I am that the season is over, I had a hell of a time covering it this year, and I hope that we're able to do it again.
Yes. I'm going to think nothing but positive thoughts where that's concerned
and
plan on that happening again in September.
Thank you for having me as part of Playbook all year.
It wouldn't have been the Playbook without you, brother, because, you know, number one, it's always great to have somebody to bounce things off of. I always think that a two-way conversation is better than a one-way street. Sometimes a one-way street is all you got, and so you have to do that. Believe me, I'm used to talking to myself quite a bit and have done a lot of that over the years. But it's always good to have someone sound out and feel out what you're trying to say and then react to it. Whether it's positive or negative, it's always good to have discourse. And so the discourse that, you know, we certainly have here, whether it's you or I, we have with the listeners and the fans, but the discourse that we have with each other, you know, can kind of balance and counterbalance. And I'm glad because, frankly, we need some of that because you're on a daily basis in closer contact with the players than I am. And so that's the kind of thing this program needs in order to be the playbook, to be, as we like to laughingly say, in the playbook.
Right.
We need that element in the show, and you have provided that, which is why, you know, we're glad that arrangement could be worked out with PFW, and, you know, Fred would allow you to do that and all that kind of stuff. So it's been great, and I hope that that's a relationship that clearly will continue. And your expertise from the team's point of view and the expertise of a guy like Russell Baxter and many of the other beat writers and broadcasters from around the country that we bring into the playbook, Playbook to get their viewpoint on not only the Patriots, but to get their viewpoint on the teams the Patriots are about to play. It gives you insight that, quite frankly, you know, tough to get. And that's why we started, you know, that's why Patriots.com radio was begun almost 11 years ago now, in an effort to give fans who follow this team more of an inside, round-the-clock Patriots feel to answer their questions that, you know, here where they can't get it, say, in local talk, sports talk radio. Because, you know, hey, you're not going to get Patriots year-round on EEI or in your local sports talk radio station. You're not going to get that. But here, you're going to get the Patriots. And so that's what we take pride in, and we feel like we do it as well as anybody, if not better than anybody else. And we're gratified by the number of people that have not only, you know, signed on to Facebook and started pages and send us emails, and but we're also gratified greatly, of course, by the number of downloads of the podcast and the people that take the time out of their day to listen to us live or, you know, delayed or what have you. It's, we greatly appreciate it because we wouldn't be here without your interest.
And we would literally just be talking to ourselves.
Yes, we would. Which
is fun, but it's more fun when...
It's more fun when you can talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
But when we started this almost 11 years ago, that's all it was, talking to myself and I think maybe my mother-in-law in Florida. That was about it. So we've come a long way, and I'm happy to have her. Happy to have her as part of the audience. But I, you know, it's that's all it was. So there you go. Thanks,
all right, brother.
Buddy. As we wrap up, let's try that again, shall we? As we wrap up. How many years ago was that, Jason?
That's an old one.
That's definitely
a good one, though.
Yeah. But thanks to Jason Dvorkin and to Kevin Collins for everything they've done this year in producing the show and lining up the guests and allowing us to have this forum to share with you. Like I said, you know, my Facebook page is always around. So those of you who are on Facebook, bring it on. We'll continue to have a football discourse even in the off season, and then we'll include it as part of the show again for next September.
Enjoy college basketball.
I will try to do so.
And I'll see you hopefully at or before the draft.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
We'll count on it. Thanks. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. Thanks, Jace. Thanks, Kev. I'll try not to boo-hoo here. Until next time, same Pat's channel. All right? Enjoy the playoffs as best you can. We'll see you in September.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?